Welcome to Shooting Wumprets, the only Star Wars D6 podcast in the galaxy. And now your host, Daniel and Don.
Welcome to yet another episode of Shooting Wumprets. I'm Daniel.
I'm Don.
And I'm Alan.
This guy is Alan.
Alan.
You may know him from the Google Plus community as Alan B. And Alan, tell the lovely people a little more about you.
Sure. I've been playing Star Wars for the D6 since high school, in the 90s. And I currently run a game with Don on Roll20, my favorite website on the planet. And I try to write different things for role-playing games from time to time, try to finish up role-playing games if it kills me. And I like role playing, and I like participating. And if I have to run the game or whatever it takes, I'll do it.
He also likes Cards Against Humanity and Fate.
Yeah, this is true.
He does.
It is true.
Well, welcome to the show.
He's not a bad enough person to win at Cards Against Humanity, though.
Welcome to the show, Alan. I thank you personally for being one of those brave souls that actually decided to stand up and say, look, when Don and Daniel, or Daniel, can't be around, I can stand in.
Sure.
Yep. And not only that, it just kind of proves Don is not that scary a guy.
The HoloNet News.
Dun, dun, dun. Yep. Peter Valbuena. Buena. Is that feminine or masculine? Hey, Peter, can you get back to us and let me know? I just kind of curious. I don't know about that language. Anyways, Peter posted this week two write-ups, obscure characters, Fuzz, the bouncer from the Star Bar, and I think it was the Richard Pryor show. They had a skit in that. And then the other one is an Ewok zealot, religious shaman, something or other. I don't know. Fuzzy teddy bear. Ooh, scary.
And knows how to break it down on some stormtrooper helmet drums.
Dun, 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 dun. All that stuff. Let's see. Oh, hey, yeah, the other thing. I like those. Peter always does a good job. But Dustin Hawk tossed up that income. Was that the IFST 21 light freighter?
Yeah.
Posted some unfinished artwork last week. And I think Adam Kopp is the one that did it. I think that's who was commissioned to do that art. And then the final print of that was available this week. He went ahead and posted up some stats for it. Pretty good stuff. I really enjoyed it.
Can you believe that there's a ship that Don hasn't statted?
Well, it's kind of hard to stat something when someone commissions the art for it. It can't be that quick. Oh, hey, did you see where Kyrol Hijim posted the original art or some original art that somebody was selling for Star Wars Droids?
Yes.
Some of that stuff was really cool looking. I'm really glad he posted it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to use any of it in the Droid source book, but it's nice for Remfritz, and the pictures are pretty.
Which reminds me, Don, I hooked up for my birthday. My parents sent me the BB-8 droid.
Yeah, you told me that you destroyed it already.
Yeah, its head flew off and it cracked an antenna off.
Yeah, $300 toy, and I think you destroyed it in an afternoon.
It was literally the first time I had it out of the box.
Mm. What?
And its head shook and shot off the top and cracked the antenna off.
Yep. Just, you can't buy that stuff from China. I keep telling people that. No, it's
that Republic nice. Tech. I tell you, you gotta rely on it.
Oh, I just remember something else. Alan did an upgrade on the random Star Wars mission generator.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yep, spiffy. You know what? I love it when somebody can go off and take 20 minutes of JavaScript and go, boom, here you go.
That's one thing this guy is talented at.
He's got more than that. He's got a ticklish mustache, too.
I don't have a mustache. It's so funny.
Dirty Sanchez! Dirty Sanchez! Okay.
No, I saw the document that Don posted, and I was like, oh, this would be... I don't think actually mine is as random as yours is, Don, because mine is based on just a random number generator.
Yeah.
It works. It has a little printout.
I think I like yours because yours has no bell curve in it. because it's one whole table and it just generates a number randomly in there. Whereas I think the chart I had was, first die was a 10, second die was a ones number. And so you still, because you're using dice, you still get a bell curve.
Right.
And so yours is way more random than what I've got up there. But anyway, I still wish some people would start turning out some more stuff for that. In fact, I think Peter Van Valbuena actually posted a couple up there for you.
I did see a couple come in on the form that I posted.
Okay. So, yeah, pretty nifty stuff there. So, good, Daniel.
You even hinted in the Don's rant on the community, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Oh, my rant?
you even hinted at maybe creating a random PC generator.
Yeah. Hmm.
I think that would be a nifty and a crutch all at the same time. A nifty invention and a crutch.
See, I think if I were going to do something like that, I mean, well, just kind of spitballing here. Usually with new players, I tell them to pick two skills that their character is kind of built on, what, you know, they're well known for, and put +2D in each one of those. And then pick three skills that they're like better than average at, and then pick those and call it done. I tell them to stay away from specializations. So, I mean, I suppose that would be easy enough to program up. Just have it randomly pick a skill, two skills, +2D.
Right.
The only thing that would be kind of iffy would be, like, you'd have to come up with a couple of different ideas for how to randomly generate a set of attributes.
I think you'd have to kind of have to dig into it more like a, God, almost like a D&D. Because, like for example, the new D&D has, when you create a character, there's multiple layers. So, like, there's a class, there's a race, and then there's a background.
Mm-hmm.
And I think D6 has all those pieces, just they've kind of been hard welded into the templates.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I think if you kind of blew those out a little bit and then kind of came up with, you know, like, okay, like a brash fighter is going to have these potential backgrounds, you know, versus like, you know, a billion. And then you could kind of like tweak it. You can say, okay, well, if you're a fighter, let's say you're an Imperial fighter, you're going to have these, it would affect your skill generation in this way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, that sounds too complicated. I mean, just from programming end of it, I would think that you'd, like, if you took like all of the attribute groups from each one of the templates, because those are already pretty much figured out, right? And what you would do is, like, you would set a value equal to this, and then this is what you would have for automatic stats. All right. And then you use the templates as your basis for what that range would be or what those packages would be. And then you'd go off and roll a skill, you know, the two master skills and the two three ancillary skills. I don't know. There's all kinds of ways of doing it. Anyways.
Yeah, but I think if you did it like, you know, if you had, like, going back to a pilot, you know, let's say that their backgrounds would be like a smuggler would be kind of a pilot, an Imperial pilot. Let's say a commercial pilot, maybe work for the Trade Federation, something like that. You could then go, okay, well, an Imperial pilot is good at doing its basic stuff and maybe has some blaster skills because he's trained in the Imperial Navy, whereas the commercial pilot that works for the Trade Federation may be a good pilot but also would have more of a negotiation skill because he's dealing with constantly, you know, the trading and stuff, whereas like the smuggler would have smuggling skills, but still be, you know, so you could kind of work that in to make it random.
Well, I'll tell you, there is a random generator. Actually, there's a couple of different ones. The only one that I've had access to is the, someone went off and made a random character generator for Excel. And then there is I believe the Visual Basic one, that's out there. And it seems to me that I've heard rumors somebody's got another one that they've been working on too, but I think that was on a Ranker Pit. And I've actually never seen it, but I've seen talk about it. So those are all different places to start. I don't know, Alan. I'd be excited to see something like that, man.
That would be fun.
That'd
be fun.
I am hungry, guys. So I think it's time to head on to the buffet.
The Ronto Buffet.
Buffet? So what do you want to talk about?
Well, first off, I want to talk about Dustin Hawk introducing a new race. for his far-flung campaign, because I call it far-flung because he says it's thousands of years after the original trilogy, he brought in an NPC he calls Gramps, and it's a Volturine. Now, these guys, it's interesting. For those of you who aren't familiar with the race, one of them was a pod racer in the pod racing scene on episode one.
Yeah, that was the Snaggletooth.
Yeah, yeah.
It's where you take a dog and a gar and you like put them together and you'd have that guy. Alligator gar and a bulldog.
And then a little bit of trivia about this. There was a writer for Dark Horse Comics wanted to create a Volturine Jedi, but he was told, quote unquote, that they're not smart enough to be Jedi. That would be one restriction on the class. Another thing too is that the story factors or the abilities on this are pretty interesting.
I don't wonder, what does intelligence have to do with the Force?
That's a very good question. But when he wrote up the NPC, I thought, you know, this guy's kind of OP in it with him. Gave him dark vision for 20 meters. Now, the dark vision, according to the write-up on the race itself from Wikipedia, let me see. The black people's capable of seeing dark conditions, but they lacked good depth perception. So they use echolocation in dark locations. So if they were deaf, their dark vision would probably be just about nil. Their arms and the clawed hands, and if their arms are dismembered, they get aphasia because they don't have a central brain. They cut like the brain system of a worm. It's all over through them. So
it's like a box of chocolates.
So I suggested that if they suffered massive trauma to a limb, it would affect their mental ability and their ability to speak. He also brought in as an ability approved initiative. They get a plus one, not a 1D, just a plus one to initiative rolls, and then they get a plus two bonus against toxins.
That's right, because they live in poop.
But I thought it was a pretty neat way of introducing a race that nobody else really has thought about.
You know, I think it's kind of funny. They can't be Jedi because they're too dumb. Yet you could have a tree on the middle of a planet with, like, you know, imbued with the Force. But this guy's too dumb.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a little of a stretch. I mean, even some of the things, like the bonuses are way too weak. Like, why would I want to choose this race just because?
Well,
I think it would have to be like really awesome at something for me to like want to use it.
It is. It's a German Shepherd gar, man. Look at that big old mouthful of teeth.
I always feel
I would have given them something like that. Maybe, you know, like a bonus to bite. You know, they get like a bite skill at, you know, strength plus 1D or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it needs to have something like unique about it. I love like the description stuff is killer. I just feel like it could be a little bit more.
Dare I say that it has some more mechanical bite to it?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh, Don's keeping it clean for the day.
There, in an upcoming episode, I'm still waiting to hear back from this author, but there is hint of a Galaxy Guide 17.
Nope, there's no hint. It's out.
Oh, well, yeah, you're right. It is out. It was actually somebody posted to the Google Plus community about it, and it was actually on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, when that was pointed out to me, I realized that I actually had that and been sitting on it for a while and had not shared it. I felt bad once. I was like, oh, man, I've got this already. I was like all excited and went, wait a minute, this looks kind of familiar. And then I went through my archives and went, oh, man, fell through the cracks. I feel bad. Not really, but I feel bad, but not really. Kind of thing, but yeah.
But In a future episode, probably next episode, I'm going to have the book read and ready for discussion on the Jedi Library.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, right now, I mean, in essence, what it's done is it's gone off and taken a bunch of the cybernetics and cybertech from Cyberpunk 2020 mm-hmm. and converted over to D6, and there is some stuff in there from Shadowrun as well.
Oh, yeah.
So they just put up D6 space?
Yeah, no, it's a little more it's a little more than that, but yeah, I get what you're saying. So, but yeah, D6 space needs to be expanded on.
Yes, it's a setting.
Shortly after we recorded our last episode, Kirby Gaiman actually got his Living Force campaign resources filled out.
Yes, I helped.
Yes, and the latest list will be put up on, or the location of it all will be put up on the blog entry for this episode.
Mm-hmm. My Google Foo is strong.
Way of the Force.
The idea came to me last week about gathering up, because I got a tablet for Christmas. I got an Android tablet. And I wanted some resources to help me as a GM on my tablet. And I decided I was going to go out there and get some suggestions on things to use. The first one that came into mind was Ty Kane made a dice roller for Android-based devices. Have you messed with this at all, Don?
I have. He developed it, I want to say almost a year and a half ago, like 13, 14 months ago, I think. Anyway, it works well, but unfortunately, his programming skills pretty much made it only usable for an Android phone. And he was going to kind of go back and revisit it. He had a whole bunch of stuff going on with his family last year that they had to work through. So that project kind of got put to the side, and I haven't had a chance to go back and ask him about it. But what happens is you put it on an Android tablet, and it's just freaking huge. I mean, huge. Like I said, it was really programmed for a Android phone, but it works well. You have to side load it in the
store. You have to side load it. It's not in the store.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't believe it's in the store. You got to side load it.
That's weak.
Don't be saying that. I mean, did you make a dice roller yet?
I do a dice roller, actually.
Well, have you shared it yet?
It's not for D6.
So lame.
I know. I know. And somebody keeps forcing me to use roll 20, so I haven't had the ambition to go and add D6 support into it.
Well, write a standalone program for D6 for the tablet. Android that stuff.
You know, I'm very much of the mind of writing web applications. At least that way it'll work across things, but maybe one day.
Wow, sounds like excuses to me. Excuses! Lame!
The next one, and I didn't really list it officially because I don't know where it is. Keith Kilburn made a... He said that there was a soundboard that he used in the past, but no longer knows where it is. The reason why I'm mentioning it is because if any of you know where it is, let me know.
Yeah, you know, it seems to me that I remember a soundboard something like 5 years ago, but I think that has disappeared. The only soundboard that I'm familiar with is the one that's on the Star Wars website.
Yep.
And that's not really, I mean... If you had people sitting around a table or an open mic or something like that, it would work pretty well. But, you know, yeah. But, you know, hey, you know what? If we're going to talk about these sort of things, though, the one thing that we can't pass up is the Roll 20 Android app. which, you know what, guys? Quite honestly, it sucks.
It's bad. It's actually worse than bad.
I agree with this. You don't even get to use the table with it.
Yeah, just the way that they have things set up is it's just wow. I mean, it's bad, and I don't understand that either. I mean, they spend all this time, you know, converting over and making available the 5th edition SRD, available in the archives up on Roll20, but they can't do anything to make a, you know, an Android app look and work properly. It's just,
I just want a dice roller. Like, is that too much to ask?
Yeah, apparently it is. Because,
like, I mean, last week we played Star Wars, right?
Yep.
And we actually used the table less, and we just used the dice. Mm-hmm. And I thought it went a lot better than when we mess around with miniatures. And I just thought it was like an overall better experience. The game moved better. Everybody seemed more connected, with the exception of a few people. But I felt like it was a better game.
Are you talking about the game I was in last week?
We played last week on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the one guy rage quit.
Really? Yeah. I take out my toys and I go home.
You got to tell me about this later. Okay, the next one was OneNote. And I have a personal soft spot for that because I have a Windows device and a Windows PC. And now knowing that I've got OneNote on an Android device, it works out really well too. But, you know, I really think about it, it's kind of redundant because I can usually put my notes into a Drive document and call it a day. But OneNote is actually a little bit more of a convenience because OneNote will give me like a sticky note that I can start working on things on right there on my screen and keep it that way.
Check out Evernote.
Yeah, Evernote is not bad.
Okay, I've got Evernote on my phone too, so and I like it. So I'll probably have to try that as well. You guys have any other suggestions?
You know, the only things I've seen have been like individual dice rollers, but nothing out there really works well for Star Wars dice pools. I've even tried looking at different apps that worked for Shadowrun because they have a similar dice mechanic. But I've spent the last 2 years trying to find Star Wars D6 centric apps and not coming up with a whole lot. There's honestly, you know, surprisingly, there's very little app or program support out there that people have done. I'm sure there is some stuff out there that's fallen through the cracks as people have moved in and out of the hobby. But easily accessible stuff or new stuff that's been developed, like some of the new Visual Basic and SQL, all that other stuff, cross-platform stuff, is just not available.
I agree.
Well,
dropping the ball.
I think from a game master standpoint, the one thing I'd really like to be able to do is be able to kind of pick NPCs and have them available at my fingertips. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to recreate a stormtrooper or have to dig through the book to find the stats for it. Mm. If I could pull up a couple different ones, like check them and save them as like a group, I think that would be supremely helpful.
You need to take a look at the, Citizen of the Galaxy books that have been put up there. Those have a bunch of pre-done stats for just a ton of stuff.
Oh, no, there are stats. I mean, like, Re-Up's got stats. All the books typically have stats. But, I mean, actually, D&D is horrible at this. They'll give you, like, a whole book, and then the monsters will be at the back of the book. Because, you know, when I'm doing an adventure, I really want to rummage through the back of the book while I'm trying to read the front of the book.
So you're back and forth.
Yeah, and it's like you lose the page. It's just like, it's great that it's all together, and I get you save money on printing. But it drives me crazy because it's like it's very inconvenient flipping back and forth. I don't know.
So are you talking about maybe like have a database that you could go to and just kind of pull it right up?
Ooh, would that you could just like star them, like flag them, like, oh, I want X, Y, and Z, and boom, it creates a little stat sheet.
It would be kind of like an electronic version of the Monstrous Compendium.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it some more then, Alan. We'll make it happen.
Like I could see that totally being part of the random mission generator. You know, boom, you get assassins, and you click on assassins, and it's like, here's a generic assassin stat block.
Huzzah.
Right? Well, I think this one's pretty much run its course. We've got some great ideas too. Now, does this mean we're going to start expanding into programming Android apps?
Unlikely.
And now for the movie of the week.
What do you got, Daniel? Pan. Nothing.
No. Pan.
Pan?
Yes.
The French version Pan?
No.
That new one that got terrible reviews, right?
Yes, that
two
one.
Stars.
And I blame you for this because my
That's actually pretty good.
You know, it bored my daughter.
I enjoyed it.
She wanted to watch the movie and she got bored by it.
All right. Well, I will give you a better one then. All right.
Okay.
Hyena Road. It's a Canadian made movie about three loosely interconnected stories engaging the same people, set during the war in Afghanistan.
Oh, bored just hearing about it. try Seven Psychopaths.
That's a great movie, but I don't know how that translates real well into Star Wars.
Well, you were saying multiple stories. That's the kind of same thing. But translated to Star Wars.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for, is a movie we think that has some concept or something like that that can be converted over into Star Wars. So this is sort of like an insurgents campaign.
Yeah, Inglourious Basterds.
Inglourious Basterds, that's a good choice.
Yep.
I'm not a Tarantino fan in any way, shape, or form, but
like Stormtrooper Hunters.
You also have to be able to take your movie and put it into the form of an adventure. So an example of Pan, you have a kid who is incredibly powerful in the Force. No, not a whiny Anakin either. But this kid uses his abilities to shape the world around him and fight off a nasty little captain on a ship with the help of his little alien friends.
There you go. And they all fly.
That's right. With half.
And they're lost species.
Think a happy thought.
I am thinking happy thought.
You can use the kid class for it too, Doc.
That's right.
There you are, man. So, yeah, you know what? Oh, you know what? Just, you know, that you bring that up. I actually had No, this has been something that's been a gripe with me, but I mean, it just refreshed my memory because a guy contacted me about a week or so ago, wanted to play one of my games. And I said, sure, no problem. And I didn't go through the legwork that I normally do, you know, how old are you? What's your time zone? What's your expectations? I didn't do that. I was just like, I need bodies and seats. Go ahead, sure, we'll figure it out. So he hands me his character concept, and he wants to play a kid. Now, there's a template in Star Wars. I think it goes all the way back to first edition, but definitely second, and it's also in re-up. Now, here's the problem with that. I like the idea or the concept of the kid in quotation marks as presented on the template, but 99% of the time, all it is an excuse for someone to show up and act like a total full-on retard. I mean, seriously. I mean, all they want to do is throw monkey wrenches. I mean, all they want to do is just be, you know, gonzo stupid and have an excuse to get away with it. And as soon as I saw that he wanted to play a kid, I, you know, instantly went off in the back of my head and I went, oh man, he's going to be one of those guys. And then I was like, oh no, give it a chance. You know, you can't think like that, Don. You got to give people a little bit of a chance. Come on, half full glass, as opposed to being always Mr. Negative, half empty. Shows up for the game. He's there 5 minutes before I kick him out.
You kicked him out?
I kicked him to the curb. He came in and instantly was just being just so stupid. And I just went, hey, buddy, have you ever played Star Wars before? Nope. Well, I really appreciate you coming, but I don't think you... See ya.
Awesome.
See, awesome. This was the same guy that goes off and plays a Kender in Pathfinder and, like, steals everything.
That's good. That's what Kenders are supposed to do.
That's why I don't allow Kenders in my game. I'm like, you want to play a fat little hobbit? Fine. A halfling? I don't have a problem. Kender? Burn you at the stake. Hate Kender. All right, that's all I got.
A little hint of what's to come in the next episode. We're going to talk about we're going to talk about players and character creation.
Because I hope they all die.
There's been a disturbing trend in wanting the work done for them that Don has noticed. And we're going to talk about ways to maybe combat that and educate instead of murder. Get on.
Yeah, murder. Whatever. I've just made it a point that basically if somebody's like in their 20 somethings, I'm just not playing with them.
And keep an eye out for the review for Galaxy Guide 17 coming up.
Yeah, Galaxy Guide 17.
Okay. Well, on behalf of Shooting Wild Rats, I'm Daniel.
I'm Don.
I'm Alan.
And may the force be with you.
Have a good weekend, kids.
Spay and neuter.
Dirty Sanchez! Dirty Sanchez!